In a world where you have a lot of content, well, what? How does it turn into sales? It turns into sales by building real influence, which is if you're an entrepreneur and you're a business owner, if people don't know who you are and the one thing you want to stand for, you might as well be invisible. And then you're really not going to get sales. The only sales that come in are referrals and, you know, in-person meetings and speaking events and stuff like that, none of which is scalable, right? So if you want to scale up, you have to have a way to convert that attention into sales. And that's where content really does its job.
What's up, everyone? Welcome to the Hustle to Freedom podcast, where I show you that you don't have to be a natural born entrepreneur to build a business that gives you time freedom, location freedom, and financial freedom. My name is Ryan Helms, and in just 27 months, I paid off over $209,000 in debt, quit my 9-to-5 job, and started building my dream business that scaled to six figures of income in less than 6 months. And on this podcast, I'll be sharing exactly how I did it and bring on some awesome guests that are either doing it or have already done the same thing. So if you're a freedom chaser and you want to fast track that process, this is the podcast for you. And also, be sure to head over to gritandhustle.co to grab your free copy of the Side Hustle Journal. But for now, let's hop in to today's episode. What's up, guys? Welcome back to another episode of the Hustle to Freedom podcast. Today, as always, bring you guys awesome guests, and I've got Mr. Matt Johnson on the podcast today. So I'm super excited to dive into a topic with Matt today because we both come from the content world. We both have agencies around creating content, helping people leverage their expertise, authority, and message to reach more people, impact more people, all that good stuff. So we're going to dive into kind of his journey and then also how you guys can leverage content for whatever you're doing on the side, because I can't think of anything that content can't amplify. I can't think of a business out there, a product out there that you can't bolt content onto and get some type of positive impact from that. So we'll kind of dive into content marketing, how that can play into your side hustle that you have right now, and how you can kind of take things to the next level. So with that long-winded introduction, Matt, welcome to the podcast.
What's up, Ryan? It's good to be here.
Yeah, man. So give us a little background. Like, how'd you get into the content game? Where'd you come from? I was actually looking at your website. I did the old Wayback Machine. The first instance I saw was in 2014. It seemed like you were, it wouldn't load like the whole webpage, but I could tell you were,
well, thank
you were
God.
Definitely focused. You were definitely focused on video back at that time, it looked like, from what I could see on the page. So like, how'd you get into this? Like, what's the whole backstory into what led up to just starting this website and getting into content marketing?
Well, so where I'm at right now is we run, you know, kind of similar agencies. We launch and produce podcasts more in the business coaching, consulting, emerging thought leader space. But 5 years ago, I was just some dude working in a marketing agency, and I got into business development, and their way of doing biz dev was they had all these relationships with industry insiders, and they said, well, let's do a Google Hangout series. And so they brought me in to host those Google Hangouts. Most 90% of their clients were real estate agents. I used to run a real estate team. So I knew all the books. I knew who the coaches were. I knew the landscape really well. And so I started doing these Google Hangouts, and they started going really well. And after like 2 months, one of them that I was co-hosting these Hangouts with just called me up one day and said, dude, do you want to start a podcast together? Like, we have a great time. We have good chemistry. We laugh our butts off on video behind the scenes. Like, let's do it. And what was funny is that I was going to call him the next week to pitch him the same thing. So it was good timing. And that show was called Real Estate Uncensored. And 5 years later, we're at, you know, 1.5 million downloads. And we're named like one of the top 5 podcasts in the space by a couple of the leaders there. And essentially that, like, I watched that transformation from what you saw, which was me blogging at my old agency, where I came in and I couldn't get somebody on the phone that was paying our agency because they were busy, to them wanting to jump on consulting calls with me to talk about strategy and marketing, to then a year or two later going, holy cow, I can't believe you took my call. I'm excited to be on your podcast. Same people. Like, I watched that mm-hmm. transformation happen. And the thing that made the difference was the content that we were publishing. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, so I lived that journey of just watching my own authority go from nothing to being an industry influencer and an insider and speaking at packed breakout sessions in 18 months. Like it happened, you know, like it didn't happen all at once. It accumulated over those first 18 to 24 months, but I saw the power of it kind of firsthand. So yeah, it's, I essentially went from doing that to got myself into four different companies, realized that was a terrible, terrible mistake, got out of all the rest of them and just focused on growing the agency. And that's where I'm at now.
What do you mean you got into four different companies?
I was an equity partner in four different things. So we were building like, it was all in the real estate space. So two different coaching consulting companies. One company that wanted to be the Netflix of real estate. So content and training for agents, which that's such a cliche as to be unbelievable now. And then another one was to take podcasting into the financial advisor space, which they did. And I just let my partners take that company and run with it after I set them up with the operation. So I just stepped back from everything and said, look, if I'm going to do one thing, I'm going to do the thing that I have 100% ownership of, and that's the agency.
Nice, nice. So you said you started that podcast with a friend. Were you already in the real estate space as like a subject matter expert before mm-hmm. you kind of started that?
Yeah, exactly. So I wasn't coming at it from purely an outside perspective because I'd read all the books and had started a real estate team in the past. And so I was able to jump on those podcasts with those experts and ask really, really good questions. And that's what kind of got that very first initial thing going, where they started to trust me more and they started to listen to my opinions on those live podcasts. Even though they were the expert, I got a chance to speak up. And what happened was their credibility by association rubbed off on me, to the point where mm-hmm. I became someone that could go speak on my own at some of those events based on the fact that I was working with all these top agents and top team leaders and stuff. And so, yeah, just it snowballed from there. But yeah, that was the initial part of it.
That's awesome. So when you guys started creating this content for the real estate podcast, and what were you guys doing with it? Like how did that was there anything on the back end of that? Was it like content for just the sake of content, or like, why were you creating content?
So the initial idea was, the guy that called me up and pitched me on the idea was going to get, he was doing more coaching. He wanted to get more coaching clients. Then I wanted to create some training and maybe some information products for agents, because I was getting into that side of things. I thought that's what I wanted to do. And so there was a back end. What we realized though, and I dipped my toe enough into coaching agents to know I didn't want to do it. We tried coaching them separately. We tried coaching them together. Nothing worked. We offered group classes. Like it wasn't the right industry for me to be coaching people in. And so there was a back end, but at some point where we realized that, hey, we needed to shift gears. And so what we ended up doing was moving my partner's real estate team over to a national brokerage that allowed anyone to join, and then we get a cut of their commissions. So it turned into like a more of a recruiting style, and I still have ownership in that thing. And that continues to grow. So we've got a nationwide team of like 100 agents, and then there's like 20 people in Australia that are signing on that are technically all under our team. So I have an interest in that kind of makes money behind that primary podcast.
Got it. So when you kind of got it, you had all these different ventures going on, you just wanted to get into your content marketing agency and focus on that. Like why, I mean, I'm asking this, I kind of know the answer for me, but like, why do people pay you money to create content? Like what's the value in that for someone else, for them to pay you to like do stuff with the stuff they record?
Well, because as you well know, if they don't pay someone, it won't get done. That's yes. The full answer, you know? And the people that we work with that are entrepreneurs, that are busy, hard charging, they've got so many things on their plate. The advantage of working with an agency that really understands you and that level of person, they understand that it's not just about being available and producing something whenever you decide to crank it out. It's about following up and being pleasantly persistent and creative to help you create content, even when you yourself are having a week where you don't want to create content. And the real hardcore entrepreneurs that we work with, like, put a high value on that, because they're the types of people that hire coaches, for example. They're the types of people that hire, like if they set a fitness goal, they go hire a personal trainer. So it makes sense to them that, hey, if I'm going to market online, I'm going to hire someone that doesn't just take whatever I give them, but tells me what to do.
Yep. And just to kind of help tie in like the whole content thing to people, mm-hmm. but like, why do people pay for that? They pay for the accountability. That's one piece. Mm-hmm. But how does someone take like content that you guys create and like, right? Because there's money going out to create it, right? They're paying you to do it. How do they make that?
Yeah.
Yeah. How do you like circle it back in and make it a like a ROI positive exchange?
Well, that's where we get into the content of the book, because that's why I wrote it, because I wanted to explain to people what that process was, which is right now we have this idea that attention automatically converts into sales, that if you just put content out there that grabs attention, that automatically creates sales. And that's, I don't think that's really ever been true. There was a little blip of time in internet marketing where it seemed like that might be true. And then I think that now we have a bunch of selection and now we're back to reality. So in a world where you have a lot of content, well, how does it turn into sales? It turns into sales by building real influence, which is if you're an entrepreneur and you're a business owner, if people don't know who you are and the one thing you want to stand for, you might as well be invisible. And then you're really not going to get sales. The only sales that come in are referrals and, you know, in-person meetings and speaking events and stuff like that, none of which is scalable, right? So if you want to scale up, you have to have a way to convert that attention into sales. And that's where content really does its job. You know, so the way that I look at it is like there's that, we talk about that gap between attention and sales, right? So there's a couple things that you can try to fill that gap with. You can try to fill it with sales skills, right? Just get more people on the phone. Tee them up, get them on the phone. 90% of them aren't going to be a good fit. Who cares? Just get them on the phone. I'll convert what I can. Sales skills. You can also try to fill that gap with speaking skills, and you can hit the road and start doing speaking engagements, or you can do networking events. You can join your chamber. You can do whatever, right? All of that is just, you're trying to fill that gap between the attention that you get and the sales that you want. If you try to fill it with stuff like that, with sales skills and speaking and networking and all that stuff, none of it's scalable. So you can only grow to a certain point. And if you're the entrepreneur of a company and you want to have any freedom in your life at all, like none of that stuff is sustainable. So the answer is, well, what do you fill that gap with? And the answer right now is influence. And I think it's going back to what has always worked, is if you are influential, if when you speak, people take action, that's the difference between turning attention into sales.
And in your experience, what is, so somebody that doesn't have influence, right? There's a lot of people out there that are, they have good dialogue, unlike me, where I'm like, what am I about to say? They have like good dialogue. They can put out very powerful words that move people, that get people to feel some emotion with their words, can easily create content, but they're struggling to develop influence, right? They have the delivery, but they're missing some piece. Like, what have you seen work for people to actually start to create influence in whatever space they're in? Like, you got a lot of people that will get on Facebook Live once, twice, three times a week, but they never really get any traction. Like, how do they start to get like that snowball effect?
Well, I think it comes down to the clear and compelling idea. It's the, what is the one thing you want to become known for? It could be the stand that you take. It could be the word that you become known for. It could be the problem that you solve. There's a couple of different ways to slice it. But at the end of the day, I think a lot of the reason why people don't build influence online is they end up talking about 17 different things and people don't really know who they are or what they stand for. And so the people that I see that really do it right are the people that everyone knows what they stand for. Everyone knows what Gary Vee stands for. Everyone knows what Simon Sinek stands for. Everyone knows what John Maxwell stands for, right? Like, John Maxwell equals leadership. If a John Maxwell book hit the shelves tomorrow, guess what? I can tell you what it's about. It's about leadership. He's not writing about anything else. It's all variations of the same thing. And we look at that as limiting. And in a sense, that's true. But really what it is more like packaging. You know, there's 1,000 things. We all have interests. We all have hobbies. We all have all kinds of different things we could talk about. It's talking about the same thing enough that the message hits home. Mm-hmm. And I think that's why people don't get traction is, yeah, they're dabbling in content marketing, but they're not talking about the same thing with any consistency to where people get to know who they are and what they stand for. One day they're talking about productivity. The next time they're talking about hacks for some tool they like, the next time they're talking about a book they like, the next time they're talking about their work with a client, but nobody really knows what they do. You know, the more that we do that, the more we dilute our ability to get known for one thing. And that's, so I think that's one of those missing links between just doing content and getting traction is that level of focus.
Yeah. I feel like it's people, they get the word content, but they don't have the word marketing. So they never make it content marketing. It's like they, you know, they,
publication.
Yeah, they just put out content, but they want it to happen, right? They know the result they want. They just forget that the marketing mindset is what's going to be the bridge between what they want and the actual content that they're putting out.
Yeah, 100%. Exactly. Yeah, it's like, well, it goes back to that blip in internet time where it's like we all lost our minds and thought if you just put a business online, magical things would happen. And for a little while, that was true. Like if you're the only financial advisor in your entire city who has an online presence, you're going to get an advantage. But what happens when every financial advisor has a website? Well, it's back to square one. And now you got to say something different or you're going to get lost in the sea of sameness. And I think just in most niches, and I'm sure you see it in the podcasting world, a lot of the niches, they already have big players in them. So either you're going to come in and you're going to knock the king off the hill, or you got to find a new hill to own.
Do you have any examples? So you mentioned real estate earlier. So somebody might be out there and listening right now. They may be like an avid real estate investor, own several properties, have read every book, super knowledgeable about it. But they're like, well, damn, like I can't start a podcast, or I can't start a YouTube channel, or I can't do this because there's already all these big thought leaders in the space. How can somebody like maneuver their, or you guys, right? There are already Matt and his partner that have this podcast with a million plus downloads. Like how can somebody insert themselves into a category that already seems so saturated with big players?
Well, the good news is there's always an open niche. There's always an underserved audience somewhere. Now, it may not be the hugest, but there's always an underserved audience. And so I like to think about it in terms of, you know, who are the people that I most want to speak to? What are the podcasts that they're listening to? And what are they looking for? Like when they're sifting through 5, 10, 15 episodes to find the one that actually catches their eye, why is that? What are they looking for that they're not getting from 90% of the other podcasts that they're listening to? And I'll give you an example. So in the real estate space, one of the coaching consulting companies I used to be a partner in, and now he's just a client and a good friend, he built a 7-figure real estate team. So he nets 7 figures a year off his real estate team and works about a half a day a week. He runs that real estate team in about 2 to 3 hours a week. So I modeled my agency off of that, and that's, we do the same thing, right? So 2 or 3 hours a week is what it takes. So nets $1 million a year, works 2 to 3 hours a week. To anyone that's in real estate, that sounds insane. You can't unhear that. You may think it's BS, but you can't unhear it because most top producers in real estate work 60 to 80 hour weeks. Mm-hmm. But when they hear that, they go, I don't even know if that's possible, but I want to know if that guy's full of you know what.
Yeah. Right?
Well, guess what? He's not. The answer is people and systems. And he teaches people on the podcast how to do it and gives them some insight. And then he offers a $3,000 workshop where they can come and get on a plane and go to his office in Omaha, Nebraska, and learn how to do it and walk away with all of his intellectual property, including all the templates and tools they use in the system. Well, not only is that a great coaching consulting business, but more importantly, it ties back to a real underserved audience in the real estate space, right? Because all the podcasts and all the coaches out there were saying one thing, and he came along and said the exact opposite and said, nope, you don't have to do any of that. It's not about working more hours. It's not about having more sales conversations. It's about building a team and putting the right systems in place. And so he came out with a completely different message. And so that the same thing that works in podcasting is the same thing that just works in business. You have to find that underserved, what one of my guests did just today on my podcast called a crack in the market. You got to find where that crack is and then, you know, get a crowbar in there and wedge it open and put a new podcast there.
Yeah. I mean, this podcast is an example. When I looked at the market, when I was getting ready to start this podcast, I was like, well, obviously there's already a bazillion podcasts out there talking to entrepreneurs. There's even more just general business podcasts. Mm-hmm. So I just kept like trying to go a level deeper. Then I looked at side hustle podcasts, right? Mm-hmm. Then there was still several people out there that have been in it for a long time. They had really big podcasts. So then I had to go just a little bit deeper than that and just kept narrowing down my criteria to the type of person that I wanted to bring on the show. Now, for me, the drawback was I was no longer getting these big names because of the criteria that I placed on my show to leverage. I didn't have any big names to leverage, but I was giving people something that wasn't already out there. I was giving these like specific type of conversations around people that might still be working a day job, might have just started what they're doing within the past 5 years, like you, Matt. So I was bringing these type of conversations, and it quickly grew to 20,000 downloads a month. And I'd never really done any content marketing before. It was just like, I'm just going to have conversations, but I understood the power of, like, you know, cranking down on this niche and really figuring out what my crack was to kind of go down and, you know, squeeze the juice out of the market, so to speak. So like this podcast, if you're listening, this is a good example of exactly what he's talking about. It's just finding, like, looking at maybe what you want to talk about and just looking for ways to get more and more narrow. And you may not have the biggest market in the world, but is it Kevin Kelly who wrote that, like, 1,000 true fans? Or yeah, like, you honestly don't need a ton of people to make revenue off of anything, really. So that was kind of my mindset when I went into it. Now, I really haven't tried to sell anything off this podcast yet. Maybe at some point I will. It's just the point that you can grow something really big, even though your niche might seem small, because there's more people in the world than you can really wrap your head around.
There really is. And especially if you go after an affluent, early adopting kind of segment of the market, because I talk about in the book, it's called building a home base. Because if you're going to go after a smaller portion of people anyway, why not go after the ones that have money and are successful? You might as well. Mm-hmm. I'll give you that. There's a really good example. So I've had two different clients in the real estate coaching space and the old agency I came out of, that's a video marketing agency for real estate agents. They're all multi six or seven figure companies. They all operate in a space where the entire universe of people who have the money to hire them is around 10 to 15,000 people. So three, you know, multi million dollar companies in spaces of 10 to 15,000 potential clients. So if you think, you know, like the podcast that is dominating that space, you know, gets 3,000 to 5,000 downloads per episode. And if you try to go and get sponsorships for that, what are you making? $150 an episode, right? Something like that. Like, it's chump change to these people. You're way better off offering your own thing. And more importantly, it doesn't matter how many people are listening when it's a few thousand of the right people. I like to think about it just in terms of, like, my own Facebook following. You know, if your Facebook friend list is capped at 5,000, if those are the right 5,000 people and you have a high ticket service to offer, can you build a seven figure business off of those 5,000 people? And the answer is absolutely you can, you know, without question. It's only a matter of just the right 5,000 people.
Yep. That for sure. Now, we just talked about getting super narrow, right? Having, like, the right 5,000 people. Before we started recording, we were talking about people that have millions of followers that can't see, right? So it's the total opposite, right? We're talking about, like, talking to 1,000 people, and you have people that are literally talking to 2 million, 3 million, 4 million, 10 million people and can't seem to turn that into a business. Hey, why do you think that is? Why can't people bridge the gap between, as you were saying, influence to dollars on the back end? Like, what's that gap?
Well, partly it's influence. It's the ability to get somebody to get up off the couch and take action. Cause it's that's what makes, you know, sponsorships and stuff like that and just growing big followings. That's what makes it so hard to monetize, because a lot of times in the quest to grow that level of an audience, what we end up happening is 99% of our audience are just there for the free stuff. So we talk about our sponsors. They don't go to the sponsor's website. We tell them we just came out with something and here's how to go buy it. They don't go buy it, right? That's not having real influence. If you tell someone to do something and they promptly ignore your advice and do the opposite, you don't have influence. And so I think a lot of people are missing that part where they, like you said, like, they miss the marketing part of content marketing. They might be putting out content that attracts an audience, but if you're not putting out content that builds influence and gets people to take action, then you're not going to be able to get them to actually plunk down their wallet when you need them to. And that applies whether you're, even if you're getting external sponsors, because nobody's going to sponsor your podcast for very long if your podcast listeners don't take your advice and go sign up with the sponsor. So even that's not really a way out. You know, you think about Tim Ferriss. Why do people pay him hundreds of thousands of dollars for sponsorship spots, you know, on his podcast? Because his listeners take action. You know, so it's all influence. It's an influence game. I just think we're in an age right now where that is the game. It's who has the influence, who owns the niche, and who can get people to take action. Because if you can't, it's going to be a really hard road. There's been multiple people I've run into that have Instagram followings, several hundred thousand, get millions of podcast downloads, whatever the case is, and that for the life of them can't monetize it because they can't get to take action.
Yeah, I mean, the people that have been listening to this podcast for a while know that, you know, I'm not a lifelong entrepreneur. I've actually only been doing this for full time for about a year and a half. So when I started getting exposure to some of these people with big followings and things like that, and getting like having numerous calls with people as we launched their content campaigns and things, it seemed like on the back end that somebody can literally have millions of followers on a social platform and not have any idea of, like, besides like a couple sponsors where they like take a picture with something, how to turn that into revenue. It's just really fascinating to me that can be the case, that you can have that type of scenario.
I know. It breaks people's brains. It really does. It's hard to imagine that you're broadcasting to several hundred thousand people and you can't make any money off of it. But it happens, and it happens, I think, more than we like to admit in the marketing world. And I think part of it is, like, imagine speaking to that many people. How many problems do you think they have in common?
Mm-hmm.
You know, when one of them buys your stuff and puts up a testimonial, does anybody else in the audience know who that person is?
Right.
So it's the more different types of people you try to speak to, you have to make your message broad. And what you end up doing, and you were very fortunate to like not go down this path. Like you took the path of like niching further down. Most people do the exact opposite. They go, well, I want to work with this person and this type of person and this type of person. So let's find an idea that's like a big magic umbrella that encompasses anything I could ever want to create and could sell to anybody who might ever want to buy it. And so it's, you know, I talk about in the book, you end up with these ridiculous marketing slogans like, you got people. Like, what the does that mean? I wrote the book and I don't even remember what company that was that had that slogan that I pulled out. What does you got people mean? And there's a bunch of other ridiculous corporate slogans that we could use as an example, but that's why they end up that way, because they want to serve everyone. And so they won't make any decisions. They won't leave anybody out. And so they end up having to try to market to everyone. Well, everyone doesn't have the same problem. Everybody doesn't speak the same language. So it's impossible to speak to them in a way that actually draws them in. And so you end up with these meaningless ideas that don't attract anybody. And then we run off screaming in the same direction as entrepreneurs. We do the same thing that big companies do and make all the same mistakes. So that's what I'm hoping to try to prevent with the book.
Yeah. So people, like somebody listening that wants to create content and doesn't want to be one of these people who doesn't have influence, that their content never gets traction, are there any like best practices, frameworks, methodologies, or anything like that that you've seen work around content creation that we could share with the listeners now? Like anything that you know that, hey, like, you know, take these steps, take this approach, think about it this way, anything like that come to mind around like how somebody could start creating content now in hopes that it will drive business and revenue to their side hustle?
Yes. So I think where a lot of people are struggling right now is that social media is moving away from the person who just wants to focus on their business. And what I mean by that is Instagram and Facebook, and especially Snapchat and the new iterations of things that have come about, are trying to push us in the direction of content equals you being on your phone all day. They want you to pick up your content, create content from your phone, engage on your phone, put it down, pick it up 30 seconds later, engage again. And that's not good for like actually growing a seven-figure business. Like it just isn't. Like you can't live in that mode. So it's like, well, what do you do? Well, it's the answer is not creating a whole bunch of organic content from scratch every day. The answer is not taking 15 selfies a day for Instagram. Okay, well then what about paid traffic? Okay, well, go and get the book sale, you know, 80-20 Sales and Marketing by Perry Marshall, and find out how hard it is to make paid traffic work, because I'm doing it right now and it's a 12 to 18 month process to make it work. And he's right about that. So that's not a quick fix either. So I think most of us are just trapped in that space where you see your Facebook organic reach dropping through the floor and paid traffic isn't the answer. And right now we're just in a niche of time where podcasting to me is the answer. And you and I both run in that same ecosystem where there's so many great shows that are starving for good guests. And if you're somebody that knows what you're talking about and you know how to help people and you know how to solve a problem, go find the podcast they're listening to and go pitch yourself as a guest, because that's where they're looking for the solutions. And that's the easiest way to create content. It's way easier than sitting down to write a blog post. It's way easier than writing a book, believe me. It's way easier than creating graphic content and infographics and all the stuff you hear about on Social Media Examiner and all these podcasts that, you know, talk about all the latest tactics and stuff. Just go get featured on a podcast. Do it once or twice a month. You're going to reach 200, 500, 1,000 people, and you're going to get 30 or 40 minutes with them and not just the 3 seconds it takes for your post to scroll by on Facebook. So that's my perspective on it. Just go get featured first. Maybe start a podcast later. You know, for the most part, I don't take on a lot of clients that aren't getting featured already, because you know this, a podcast isn't magic. It doesn't just, you know, just put it out there and it just gets magically 20,000 downloads a month. Like, that happens by design and it happens by longevity. So if you're not getting out there and getting and reaching new people and giving people a chance to find you for the first time, the odds of you putting a podcast out there and hitting that 20,000 downloads a month are not good. Right. So I always have people start out by getting featured. And even if you already have a show and you're not getting featured and you wonder why your podcast isn't growing, go get featured. To me, that's like the first step for everything right now.
Yep. Yeah, totally. So that's awesome points. I know I've been telling people this a lot recently. Like, if you have some type of business, whether you work for, here's a great idea. If you work for a business, like a big corporation right now, you have your side hustle. But if you want to like make a big impact in your business and kind of in your company that you work for and stand out, tell them to start a podcast if they don't already have one. Because there's a big benefit in starting a podcast as a business. And I'm sure you've seen this, Matt, in shortening that sales cycle for whatever the business is. So like, actually, was it before I started this agency? It might have been before we started the agency. I reached out to our marketing department. It's a big 30,000 person company. I'm like, hey guys, I can remember the email because I was kind of a smart ass in the email. Because I like asked them if they had any idea, and they're like, oh, we'll check the budget next year. And I'm like, well, eventually it's going to be in the budget, because eventually you guys will start a podcast. Like, it's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when. So you can do it now and claim, you know, some ownership in the space and gobble up some real estate, or you can wait till later and it'd be more difficult. And then like 2 years later, they start a podcast. But so if your company is not, this is just like a random, like a little hint, if you want some points with your company, is email your marketing director, or the VP of marketing, whoever it is in your company, and recommend that they start a podcast. Show them some examples. There's huge companies like big companies like DuPont and Exxon and all these people that have podcasts, and they're probably not getting hundreds of thousands of downloads, but it's helping them build influence in the space. And this can work for local companies as well. We actually did a summit yesterday where we were talking about local businesses and how they can use podcasts. So if you're working for somebody and you want some brownie points and with your company, tell them to start a podcast, give them some ideas, things like that. But this is just a random thought that popped in my head.
Sponsor you. One of my clients did that. So we run the semi-official, but not really super under the table kind of, but official Century 21 Real Estate Podcast. It came about because one of the guys I was doing Google Hangouts with back in the day just approached the corporation, said, you should be podcasting. And I think, you know, like, you should pony up the money. And why are you not doing this yet? Like, other companies are doing this. And they said, okay, and you'll be hosting it, right? He's like, okay, write the check and I'll do it.
So, yep. Yeah. And just an example, like, one of our clients, he got on a call probably two and a half weeks ago, something like that. And he was like, hey guys, like, I just want to tell you, like, this has been the best investment we've ever made at a company, as a company. He's like, let me tell you why. He was like, it's been 2 weeks since we started our podcast. I had a lady that had been on our email list for 3 years. She'd never bought anything. All she did was download a lead magnet and interacted with our emails. She never bought anything, never used our service, nothing. She just reached out to me. They're in the real estate space. He was like, we're going to do $250,000 net with her this year just based off her hearing the podcast and instantly building that trust, because she'd never heard them before. She knew who they were, but she had no like personal connection to them. And then she heard them on the podcast, and it just took that sell cycle, like condensed it. It might have never happened, or it might have been a few more years before she came around. But I just wanted to share that story. I thought it was super powerful in how much trust and impact. And this is not just podcasting. It's YouTube. It's maybe not blog. I think blog is a little weak for building trust.
Audio video, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. But like, if you can do one of those, like you can instantly, not instantly, you can quickly build some trust with people. So and it, again, this is whether you're a big company, you sell candles on a Shopify store on the side, whatever it is, like if you can put your face and your voice out there, like you're going to instantly get a lot more trust and have a lot, people are going to have a lot more affinity towards you and your brand. So yeah, this has been a good conversation about content.
Yeah. Like, well, one of our clients did it right. She, before she even really had a business, she wrote a book and she hired a VA to pitch her as a guest on podcast. And now she runs the number one online community for mom entrepreneurs. It all started by just putting herself out there, getting featured, having those conversations, and reaching the right people, because that builds trust a lot faster than if she could have been blogging away for years. How many mom bloggers are there out there? Yeah. You know? So yeah, builds trust way, way faster.
Yep. And just as a practice what you preach thing, so I might have mentioned it once or twice here on the podcast, but I've got a SaaS product that's in development right now. Hopefully later this year, we'll have that ready. And that's why I started a YouTube channel, right? Getting ahead of the curve. So I started a YouTube channel in May, not knowing this thing's not going to be out till probably November, but starting to cultivate that audience, starting to put content out there. So when we're promoting so we have something to promote the software too, right? We have a little community built up already. So yeah, to your point, you don't have to wait until the thing is there to start producing content, right? You can definitely get ahead of the curve.
Yeah. What is it Seth Godin said? The best time to, a writer asked him, when was the best time to start a blog? He's like, well, the first best time would have been like 2 years ago before your book came out. Then second best time is now. So go do it.
Yep. Yep, absolutely. Cool, man. Any other things related to content that you'd like to share? Any like things that you're seeing work really well? Any cool tools or anything related to like content marketing out there come to mind?
You know, that's a great question. There's
actually kind of, it was a bad question, actually.
No, it's fine. I mean, here's the danger, you know, everything works for somebody. I think that's one of the biggest lessons you learn the longer you're in the game, is that everything works for somebody. And if you allow yourself to get sucked in because somebody had a success story and you go, ooh, maybe I should be on Instagram. Maybe I should be on LinkedIn. Maybe I should be on Snapchat. You will never hear the failures. Mm-hmm. You will only hear the successes. And once you start to realize that, you go, you set yourself free a little bit from FOMO. I think FOMO, the fear of missing out and the fear of missing that big explosive growth on some new hot social media channel that 14-year-olds are using, I think it pulls a lot of people away from doing the fundamental things that would actually add six figures in revenue next year. And so, yeah, it's not so much that that there's any one particular thing that's working, is that the thing that works.
I'll add to that point as well, in that you not only what you said, but you also don't know what's going on behind the scenes. You don't know what actually really pulled the levers on making that happen. Good example, I heard, so there's a guy, his name's Alex Sharfin. I don't know if you've ever heard of him. So he was sharing an example of one of his clients, and they were modeling some other guy who had a big company, and they had a customer service team of like 30 people to fulfill on all their coaching programs and things like that. And this person was like, well, I'm going to go do the same thing. And he was like, no. Like, you have no idea what's going on behind the scenes. Don't try to model them, because what you don't know is they're dismantling their customer service team now because it was too much overhead. Like, don't look at the surface level and think that everything is like great and hunky dory, you know? Like,
that's so funny. And it's so true too. Yeah, I know there's, once you get into the world of influencers and you start to see behind the scenes of their business, you start to realize, oh, wait a minute, that person built a podcast because they got in at the right time. That person built an Instagram following because they had the right thing at the right time. And yeah, somebody told me one time, by the time you see a product come out that shows you how to use it, the people that it worked for have already moved on to something else.
Yep. Totally. Couldn't agree more. Well, Matt, where can people connect with you? Where can they check out the book? You've mentioned it a few times. Where can somebody go pick it up? And what's a little bit more about it? What's it called? And how might it help somebody if they read it?
So the book is called Microfamous. Tagline is How to Become Famously Influential to the Right People. So it's specifically for emerging thought leaders like coaches, consultants, speaker, author types that want to reach, they don't want to just take on more clients. You want clients you love, right? And you want to be known for the right thing in your space. So that's what the book is all about. You can get it on Amazon, or you can also just go to getmicrofamous.com. There's a couple of links there. Connect with me there. And we've got the free, you can either get a free plus shipping for the actual physical book if you love physical books like me, or you can get the free digital version just emailed to you. So just go to getmicrofamous.com.
Cool. Awesome. So I'll link that up in the show notes as well. It's been awesome to chat with you, Matt, somebody in the same space. So good conversation here, and I'll talk to you soon.
Appreciate it.
And that's a wrap. I hope you all enjoyed that episode. Remember, you can find links to everything we discussed in the show notes below. And if you like this podcast and want me to keep bringing you great episodes each week, here are a few ways you can support the Hustle to Freedom podcast. First, take a screenshot of the podcast and send it to a friend who may like it. Second, I'm doing a drawing for a free copy of the Side Hustle Journal for every 5 iTunes reviews I receive. So, if you want a chance to win, leave a rating and review on iTunes or Apple Podcast and send me an email at hello@gritandhustle.co. Detailed instructions on how to do this are in the show notes below. Third, take your side hustle to the next level by implementing a sales funnel to turn your passive website visitors into paying customers with ClickFunnels, the number one sales funnel software in the world. You can get a free trial by going to gritandhustle.co/profit. And fourth, if you're interested in podcasting also, which is the fastest growing content medium in the world, head over to gritandhustle.co/podcastingmadeeasy to enroll in my course now. Until next time, keep hustling, my friends.